Welcome to UTG Voices, the new monthly podcast from UTG, where we speak to different contributors working behind the scenes to bring you the latest UTG content. In our first episode today, we're going to be talking to Stephen Grant about the vision that launched UTG and how it all began. And then in part two, we're going to be speaking to contributor John Steeds about his recently published series on the genres of scripture. So welcome, Stephen. We're pleased to have you on today.
Welcome, Josh. Good to be on.
Thanks. We've called it UTG Voices, and some of the people we'll be speaking to are probably unfamiliar voices, but you're not one of those.
No, I've been on podcasts and various other videos and content with UTG for a while.
So you can come and teach us how to do it all then?
hardly.
Great. So we wanted to just have a quick chat with you today, Stephen, to get us going as we launch this new podcast each month, really to kind of communicate what is the motivation and what are the aims of UTG right from the start. So what was it that got UTG going in the first place, and what was the motivation in forming the project?
Sure, it seems a while ago now, but I suppose 2015, 16, 17, round about these years, there was a group of myself and a few friends who talked quite a lot about the availability of really good gospel and Bible teaching material, but online, but it was mainly coming from the US and not from a UK base. So we felt that we had enough contacts and friends and people we knew that could help put together a project that would provide good gospel resources and Bible teaching resources from a UK base with a UK voice, not totally UK, but certainly primarily UK in character.
So you touched on some of the things that you wanted UTG to do right from the start there. So what would you say, kind of in summary, are the aims of UTG?
Well, basically, the basic aim of UTG has stayed the same, even though because more people have come on board with different ideas and skills and have added value to the project and expanded the project quite dramatically, but the aims remain the same. And these aims were basically to spread the gospel, to broadcast the gospel freely and as widely as possible through the internet and other online platforms, and also to produce and provide free resources for other Christians to do the same in their context, whether locally in the local church or individually in their family or their work environment or their neighborhood, and also just to help some Christians grow in their understanding of the Bible who perhaps didn't have access to teaching in their own local church or their own locality and were perhaps isolated and didn't have ready access to that material. So these were the kind of aims, and the eight aims, they haven't changed. We don't want to expand the aims and objectives of the project beyond that. We've got no desire to set up a parachurch organisation or movement or anything like that. The aims remain the same, and the basic structure of the project remains the same.
Great. And so in those two ways, I suppose, in terms of broadcasting the gospel, and then in terms of helping and encouraging those who already know the Lord and are saved, we want UTG to ultimately impact people's lives, whether they already know and have trusted in the Lord or not. And one of the things that I'm conscious about in the service for the Lord that I've been involved in is that results aren't always, or they said they're not the be all and end all, and it's not necessarily what we're focused on. Our focus is on being faithful in delivering the gospel and faithful in explaining the scriptures. But having said that, for our encouragement, have you heard of any testimonies of how the Lord has used UTG in people's lives over the years since the project began?
Yes, is the answer to that. I do agree with your first point that the temptation is to focus on outcomes for encouragement. And that's understandable. With this sort of work and ministry, the outcomes are harder to gauge than perhaps a ministry that's more face-to-face, or that you have direct feedback from the people who are receiving or the recipients of the work that's been done. When you're broadcasting online, you can get a little sometimes transfixed by numbers and by stats, and along with others, we would be very keen to avoid that. So the idea is to take care and focus on the quality of the content, faithful to the Lord, to the scriptures, and to make that content as accessible as possible in a modern age, in a modern setting. And that is our focus. And it is encouraging to get feedback when it comes. We don't solicit it or seek it, but it really is encouraging when people do get in touch and let us know. The first thing I would say that the biggest encouragement so far to me has been the feedback from the people involved in the project itself. One of the good things about enlarging the project, which is a volunteer project, there's no salaried or paid employees in this project. Everyone that's involved is giving their time freely and serving the Lord in the way that they can. Most people involved in the project have other employment. And so it's really good to be able to give people opportunities to use their skills and their talents that they employ in the secular sphere to then employ it in this sphere where they can, use their technical abilities or their writing abilities or their graphic design or videography, all of these skills that they have and use it for the furtherance of the gospel. So it's been very encouraging to see that and to see the response from the over 100 people now that are involved in the project as they do that. It's also encouraging to get feedback from time to time as to how UTG has been used by others to reach people with the gospel as an evangelistic tool, whether by handing out hard copy invitations to access the material, business cards, leaflets, or whether through online advertising or promotion, social media, and so forth. And we have had from time to time feedback from people who've been connected in a local context. And I, recently just heard stories of a couple who came into a local church and they were in Scotland and they were invited to come to the Christianity Explored. They came and they began doing that. And the people that they connected with in the Christianity Explored program for the local church were contributors to UTG. And that then became a kind of vital resource and tool for them. And they became Christians, they trusted the Lord, and they're now part of that local church. And that really is a great model for UTG being utilized by people in a local context. In a kind of wider sphere, it really is encouraging to hear back. I heard just recently a chap contacted me from Italy, and I had no connection with him really. And he contacted me to say that he'd been accessing the material, he'd come across it in a Google search, and then it'd been a blessing to him as he had. He was a Christian, but he had used the material, the podcast in particular, had been very helpful to him in his understanding of issues like the Holy Spirit and some of the issues around baptism. So that there are a kind of steady trickle of testimony like that that comes back that is encouraging. So although we're scattering seed as if it were almost blind, as you do in this work, it is quite nice to hear that the Lord is using that to bless individuals.
Yeah, that is really encouraging to hear. And I think ultimately, all of us that are involved in the project would recognize that at the end of the day, it's the Lord's work, and we're looking for Him to work and impact in people's lives. So the last question that I really have for now, Stephen, is that over the course of these podcasts, as we do them, we're going to be reviewing and previewing different bits of content that are going to become available through UTG. But rather than on a kind of specific level, on a sort of bigger picture level, how do you see the project developing into the future?
I'm asked this quite often, excuse me, and the answer I have is that we've got no plans or intention of making UTG more than it is, but we have lots of plans for making it better than it is. So we don't want to change the aims and objectives. We still want to do the basic core things. We just want to do them better. And so we want to broadcast the gospel. And of course, we want to get better at doing it. We want to do our podcast better. We want to do our video work better. We want to do our writing better. So we constantly want to improve in these areas. And there's always room for improvement in these areas. So we want to be able to connect with people better. We also want to encourage the volunteer and the contributors and be part of their walk with the Lord as well, and give them opportunities to serve and to express their spiritual gifts that they've been given. So my simple question to that is that we don't want to shift UTG to be something that it isn't and was never set up to be. So we recognize that those of us who are in the core team, certainly, and I'm sure this is true of all who work with UTG, we recognize that it's not a church and it's not meant to be a church. It's not meant to replace the local church at all, but simply provide resources for Christians and local churches to use, rather than be that ultimate spiritual authority that a church is biblically. So that would be where we plan to be and to stay, but just be better at what we're doing.
Well, thanks for that. It's a really sort of a good initial first peek behind the curtain, if you like, and to get an idea into how the project began and hopefully how it can develop in the future. And yes, I think we probably all share that vision, don't we? That we just want to keep being faithful in what we're doing, but as the Lord helps us to keep getting better. So thanks, Stephen, for joining us for part one of this episode. And our listeners can continue and join us for part two as we speak to John Steeds about his latest series on the genres of scripture. So for part two of UTG Voices today, we are speaking to John Steeds. So welcome, John.
Thank you, Josh. It's good to be with you.
Yeah, we're delighted to have you here. And we've just been speaking to Stephen. So that's a fairly familiar voice on UTG. But this is a voice our listeners are probably not so familiar with, certainly not on the UTG podcast anyway. So we're delighted that you're joining us for the first time today. And you're here to talk about your genres of scripture series.
That's right. Yes, I was asked to do a series of five.
Great. So we'll delve into that in a moment. That would be great. But before, we want to get to know you. Like we said, you're a new voice here on the UTG podcast, John. So would you mind just sharing a little bit of your background and your testimony and how you serve the Lord?
Right, of course. Yes. Well, I was brought up in Bristol, and I've lived in that city for most of my life. A great Christian heritage in the past, although sadly so much of that seems to have gone now. But nevertheless, there are many, many enduring legacies of great people of faith in the city, and that legacy does live on today. So I've lived in Bristol, as I say, for all but 5.5 years of my life, and currently I'm a member of a church on the south side of the city. I'm in full-time Christian ministry, primarily Bible teaching, but inevitably in ministry you get poured into all sorts of things. So of course I do evangelism, I work with children, I've done young people's work as well, and of course now the work of UTG, which is a wonderful addition to it all.
Great, and we're thankful for your help and for the contributions that you make. And so that leads me into my next question, which is, what was kind of your drive and your motivation to get involved in UTG? How did that happen?
Well, I was approached to join the writing team, and when I looked at the website, I was very, very impressed, because I've got a passion for communicating God's truth in a way which is readily accessible to all. Now, there are elements in the church which are very strong on communication, but perhaps not on truth. And then on the other hand, there are other elements in the church which are very strong on truth, but they fail to communicate it in a way which is relevant to today's generation. So I was very impressed by what I saw, by what I read, and I thought it would be a wonderful opportunity to share the gospel to a wider audience than is, of course, possible just through meetings of the church.
That's great. And I think you'll see that your passion for communicating God's truth in an appropriate way is one that we completely share, and all the team at UTG, that is fundamentally what's behind it all, isn't it? A real desire to share the truth of Scripture with people. So if that's your motivation to be involved in the project on kind of a higher level, what about this particular series that we're talking about today on your Genres of Scripture series? What was your motivation to write that?
It was a subject which really interested me because it's something we don't hear enough about when we hear Bible teaching. The Bible is made up of a variety of different kinds of writing, the genres that we're speaking about. And so often we read it all as if it's exactly the same type of writing. And I thought it would be very, very helpful to outline five particular genres and to just see how we're supposed to read them, how we're supposed to approach them, because we've got to understand Scripture on its own terms. And, of course, a piece of poetry must be understood very different to a New Testament letter. So I was really up for the challenge of trying to put that across in short articles.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important point in terms of how we understand Scripture. We have to understand it in its context, don't we? And part of that context is to understand what kind of writing a particular part of the Bible might be. And so in kind of general terms, there are many people today who use Scripture and they were tempted to use it for their own ends. Or perhaps some of us at times we're confused about how to understand Scripture. So, John, how should we take a step back and how are we to use Scripture? How are we to interpret or apply different genres of Scripture in our context today?
Okay, that's a great question, Josh. The first thing, of course, is you mentioned people who use Scripture for their own ends, and we are not to do that. I mean, if you have a mind to do that, you can make the Bible say whatever you want. And, of course, we don't want a private interpretation of the Word of God. We want to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So, of course, we come to the text looking for the Holy Spirit's leading in order to draw out what is there, rather than to read into it our own preconceived ideas. So that's a fundamental principle in all Bible study. Now, there's this additional layer which is specific to what we're talking about today, where we have to ask a few basic questions. And one of the most basic questions is, what type of writing is this? Another one would be, how would the original audience have understood it? Because until we understand how the recipients of the book or the letter or the song would have understood the text, we can't go on then to apply it to our own lives. Sometimes we tend to jump ahead and seek to make an instant application without going through the necessary processes. So we've got to consider how a particular type of writing is to be interpreted. And once we've asked that question, once we've become familiar with the genre, then we're in a position to expound the text, to understand it, and to make those applications that God wishes us to make.
Yeah, I think, again, that's a really important point, because it's easy to get the idea, isn't it, that application, it's like we might say, okay, well, we want to understand the interpretation of a passage, what it means in its original context to its original audience and so on. And it's easy to get the idea that application kind of, it's a little bit like, well, it's what it means to me, or it's what it makes me think about. But that's not really true application, is it?
No.
Application needs to be consistent with other parts of Scripture. So essentially, in other words, what we're saying is that Scripture interprets Scripture, and we can make those applications that are consistent with other parts of Scripture to get those lessons that apply to us today in our own context. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, I would. Yes. Scripture is objective, not subjective. And today we do, like you say, have a lot of people coming to it in a subjective way and choosing something that they feel is personal to them. Well, the Word of God says what the Word of God says, not what I choose to interpret it to mean.
However inconvenient that might be for me and my ideas.
Absolutely, yes, yeah. And it is, of course, a case of having to submit ourselves to the authority of Scripture and to the lordship of the Spirit who inspired the text, and then to say, speak, Lord, because your servant is listening.
And I don't want to take us down a rabbit hole here, but you just touched there on the authority of Scripture, which I think is absolutely fundamental in so many of these areas, isn't it?
Yes.
A lot of our kind of the way that we approach Scripture, our attitude towards Scripture, is going to inform us and help us in that process of understanding it, interpreting it, and applying it. If we recognize that it is authoritative, then that's going to really help us, again, perhaps particularly in application, because we're going to say, no, it's Scripture that's authoritative over this. I'm not authoritative over Scripture. It molds me. It speaks to me. It's not for me to sit in judgment upon Scripture.
Absolutely, yes. And as you said, Josh, yeah. I mean, that can be, of course, inconvenient when we come to the Word of God and we're simply looking for something to tickle our ears, to make us feel good. But actually, of course, when we do submit ourselves to the authority of Scripture, there is such a great blessing. You know, otherwise we're treating the Bible like a self-help book and just kind of picking and choosing whatever we want, whereas actually God has got so much more for us. His word is truth. The Lord Jesus, praying to his Father once, asked that his people might be made holy, or sanctified is the word that is used there. And he said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Now, we're living in a day and age where truth itself is being questioned and undermined, and again, being made something that is individual. But no, as I say, God's truth is objective truth that comes from the Creator of the universe. And actually, real blessing is going to be found by submitting to that authority and seeing what the text actually says, not what I want it to say.
So that's some stuff then. I suppose we've made the conversation a little bit general up to now. But if we come back to the different genres of Scripture that you've been writing about, when I read through that series, and of course we'd encourage all our listeners to go and read through that series, we can drop some links in the description. One of the things I really noticed and appreciated about your writing, John, is that in so many of those areas, you were just pointing us to Christ. Whether it was poetry of the Old Testament, whether it's apocalyptic literature in the New Testament, you kept drawing our focus to what we need to do when we're reading Scripture is to seek Christ. So how do we actually seek Christ in those different genres of Scripture?
Yes, I mean, this is something I'm really passionate about, because as Christ himself makes clear, the whole of Scripture points to him, whether it's Old Testament or New. And there's a verse in John 14. It's John 14:21. It's one of my favorite verses in the whole of Scripture, where the Lord Jesus there, he's speaking to his disciples not long before his arrest and trial. And he says, if anyone really loves me, then he'll obey my commandments. And he goes on to say, I will love that person, and so will the Father, and I will show myself or manifest myself to him. So the first thing, of course, to remember when we look for Christ is that only the Holy Spirit can reveal him. The Spirit has come down to speak of Christ, not to speak of himself, but to speak of Christ. And therefore, we need to be in tune with the Spirit. And to be in tune with the Spirit is to be obedient to the Word of God. So obedience is a first principle. If we want to see Jesus, then we've got to accept the Lordship of Jesus. And it's when we do that, that the Holy Spirit can come in and reveal Christ in the text. And that's what it's all about. The Bible is not a dry textbook. It's not just a history book. It's not just a song book. It's something which points us to the living Lord Jesus.
Yeah, and again, it comes back to our attitude, doesn't it? When we come to Scripture, when we put that time aside and we want to sit down and we read it, if we come with the mindset of seeking Christ and praying that he would be revealed to us as we read, rather than coming to it with an attitude of putting ourselves at the center, if you like. A lot of people have this habit, and we can all fall into that trap of making the Bible kind of self-centered.
Yes.
Whereas actually it's Christ-centered.
Absolutely.
And it's him that we should be looking for, whether it is the Psalms or whether it is epistles, whether it is apocalyptic literature. That's really important. So, John, as we just kind of wrap up this second part of this episode, then what's your hope? What's your aim for this series that you've put out there? We touched on it a little bit at the beginning, but maybe just wrap this up. What's your real hope for our listeners and other people who go away and they read those five different articles that you've put there? What's your hope that people will get out of it?
Well, I suppose on a general level, whenever we do anything like this, it's with the hope that it will encourage people to study the Word of God for themselves. And I hope that in these articles, I've given people a few of the tools to do that, to go away, because the Bible is a daunting book when we are new to it. And this is what puts a lot of new Christians off. They think, oh, you know, I'm not a theologian, I can't understand the Bible. Well, actually, we've spoken of the Holy Spirit, and it is the fact that we have the Holy Spirit within us that enables us to understand the Scripture, not academic qualifications or anything like that. So my hope is that these articles will empower people to study for themselves, but also, like I said right at the beginning of our chat, to take Scripture on its own terms, to consider the kind of text they are reading. And you said something very important earlier on, Josh, that Scripture interprets Scripture. How, for instance, did the apostles interpret the poetry of Scripture or Old Testament history? We can learn from that approach, but by seeing how Scripture interprets Scripture. So, yeah, my hope really is to give people all the encouragement and help they need to go to any passage in the Bible and to ask some basic questions and really be able to unpack for themselves the truths that are contained within that particular book.
Well, thanks, John, because having read the series myself, I certainly think you have given us some tools and some of those questions to ask when we come to Scripture that are really helpful in understanding it. So thank you for your work in the series. Thank you for joining us for this chat today. And we thank our listeners for joining us as well. And we look forward to you joining us next time on our next episode of UTG Voices next month. Thank you.